Hey everybody, welcome back to the CBC Q&A podcast. I got Isaiah Mackler and Josh Mack, and I'm Will Lau. Thanks guys for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah, as the cool kids like to
say. Well, that's my kids taught me that.
So this Q&A podcast was more of just catching up. There's actually been a lot of stuff we've been doing individually as a corporate, as a church, as a family, that we've been doing, places we've gone, conferences that we've been to, things that we've learned, and just catching up to see what God's been teaching you, what you've been learning, the different experiences and things like that. Yeah, I thought, hey, it would be a good time just to catch up.
It's a privilege.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, a number of things, right? We South Africa trip. I know you had a trip to North Africa. There was conferences. I went to the Puritan Conference. There was the ACBC Conference. You had the Elders Weekend in Washington, D.C. Wow. There's so many things.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
We have not met in a long time.
Those are the reasons why we haven't met in a while,
yeah,
you know?
Right, exactly.
But just off the top of the head, anything that stood out from those events that were memorable, been very impactful in that sense.
I was thankful for some unrushed time with you.
Yeah.
It was nice to go to South Africa and just have the opportunity to spend however long it was, 10 days, mm-hmm. with other believers serving Christ, and just the joy that we all experienced as a result of that. It's kind of a reminder to me of the Spirit of God living in us and what happens when believers get together and just get more time with each other. So I wish that all of life could be like that.
Yeah.
We come back and start running at pace again.
Mm.
But thankful for those moments that God gives us, and want to take more and more advantage of them in the future. I think it reminded me of even how important our retreat that's coming up is. just because it's sort of like a stop in the middle of a busy year, and gives us a chance as a church to just be with one another,
yeah,
and see what God does. So it's good to have some of those things sort of scheduled in, because otherwise, easy to miss out.
Yeah, that South Africa trip was really cool. Just in the sense you mentioned unrushed time, right? And things are just a little slower in South Africa,
yeah.
Right? Whether it be because of electricity issues or just the pace of life,
yeah.
In that sense. I remember you were talking about how everyone thought, the impression was like, Josh is going go, go, go when he's in South Africa.
Yeah.
And then when you came back, it's like, oh, I am that pace, but things are a little faster in America to some,
yeah.
degree, or pace of life or activities and things that people are filled up with. But it was really good just to experience that and see that,
yes.
and have the family there,
uh-huh.
and be able to spend that time with one another. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is what, yeah, unrushed time looks like on a relatively day-to-day basis, which,
yes.
is really cool.
I would like to figure out sometimes what it is that makes it feel more rushed like that here. I wonder if some is we just have more opportunities. So there, once it's 7 o'clock, you're not really leaving,
right.
your house too much. So you take advantage of just having people over more, maybe. Maybe there's a little more of being in everybody's home as well. So it's a privilege to have so many opportunities to do things here, but sometimes it requires more self-control, really, because your schedule can get so packed with so many good things that it almost like your schedule happens to you,
yeah.
more than you sort of are building your schedule from your convictions. This is what is important. This is non-negotiable. And so I think that's actually maybe a spiritual skill we all have to kind of learn, is to be able to say no to good things, because they're going to keep us from the most important,
right.
priorities in our life.
Right. Yeah. And it wasn't like the point of just unrushed time, but it was unrushed time being together with fellow,
yeah.
believers, right? Being able to encourage one another, to hear testimonies, to just be reminded of our priorities in life.
Right.
And like you're talking about, like the retreat coming up, that's going to be a great resetting of that. I felt like going to that Puritan conference in early October, at first I was like, ah, should I go? I'm just really going because Piper's there. that's the reason why I bought a ticket, right? But it was so refreshing for my soul. I was like, man, not only me, but I would love to bring Deborah or just like the family and just do something once a year, maybe twice a year, just to like, hey, is everything calibrated correctly? Or are we off somewhere? And yeah, there's just that sense, whether it be through the mission trip or that conference or the upcoming retreat, I think that's going to help. Hopefully, if you give the time to reflect on it, whether or not your things are calibrated correctly.
Yes.
In the sense of spiritual priorities.
Very wise, yeah. Yeah. It's hard to live life well without taking time to reflect on how you're living life.
Mm.
And we're running at a pace that if I ask you what you did yesterday, if I ask most people what they did yesterday, it's going to be hard for them to even think of the major things that they did,
right,
and much less what they thought. And so we don't want to become people that are so introspective that we're, you know, always in ourselves. But it's helpful to have times and seasons and moments in marriage and individually where you just think, okay, get a little time to think, this is where we're coming from, this is where we're going, this is why we're going there.
Right, right, yeah. And then Isaiah, you had the trip to North Africa too.
Yes,
how was that?
You got
to...
Oh, it was really neat. Yeah. So getting to visit our friends there, and it was neat to see the group of friends and their fellow workers, and just getting to see, I think, some of what you guys are sharing, but just the blessing of a focused life.
Mm.
And it's not that they're not busy learning languages and taking care of kids or doing all kinds of real life things, but being there for the purpose of seeing God's kingdom grow and being very excited at every new conversation you have, or at the beginning of a friendship with someone selling, you know, vegetables. It's just such a focused life, and you come back just thinking, like, how can you bring some of that same the kind of that same focus, and just such the privilege of when you do get to meet with fellow saints and just cherishing that, so very much the blessing of seeing a focused life. Man, which is not very different from the kind of lives that we're living here, and I think that was one of the takeaways from me. While their long-term work is going to be different, you know, the Christian life wherever you live is really not that different.
Right.
It's just, have you pared away all of the extra stuff to make sure that you're really celebrating it almost, you know, you're kind of embracing it, and so that when you get a group of Christians together and they're each excited, oh, I had this conversation,
right,
you're like, that is what life is about, and that's what we want to share about at that time of prayer. I talked to a neighbor, or I got to meet someone at the grocery store, or this is what God is teaching me. And yeah, so it was just a little, but I guess I could ramble more, but
no, that's good. That's good. And then, I mean, there's a number of things, but were there certain events, whether it be conferences or trips or just even things? I know there was a lot of time, energy, and effort amongst the leaders or elders preparing for even the church members meeting, right? That was one of the first time we've had something afterwards, a longer extended period of time. I think for the most part, what I've been hearing, and myself included, it was refreshing to be able to sit and just like, oh yeah, take it all in and see, okay, this is the trajectory of where we're trying to go, what we're doing, being encouraged by other brothers and sisters on whether it be transformation groups or things like that. But are there other things that stand out these past, I don't know, 4 to 6 months that's been like, oh man, yeah, that's been really cool. God's been working on in my life in that way or through this.
It's a big question.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is always exciting to see the Vacation Bible School at a church, and I just love seeing the saints just how hard they work and how much creativity and love and a desire for truth to get passed on to the next generation. So that's always a blessing to see that level of a work and a effort, and seeing Ryan's, you know, his nightly newspaper, and so it was off the cuff. It's just a blessing seeing how much my daughter Nora loved coming and participating, how much Margo loved serving. And so that's kind of an exciting thing in the life of the church.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Yeah. And then we talked a little bit about the Elders Weekender trip, right?
Yeah.
And the things that you've learned from that. And I know you shared a little bit during the church members meeting. But any other the highlights or things that stood out from that, or things that you've seen like, oh, okay, we're applying it, taking it away from that type of trip?
I think I often say this, but just anytime I visit another biblical church, really anywhere in the world, when we went back to Living Hope or the Weekender at Capitol Hill, I'm just so encouraged by the extraordinary things God does through ordinary churches, and that faithfulness to his priorities over a long period of time produce a really shocking, awesome fruit. And so, yeah, as a leader, I'm often thinking, you don't want to sell this vision, this American vision, to your church like, hey, let's us be awesome. We're the most important people in the world. Let's just do everything so that we have this huge, you know, brand. And so that's just silly. But at the same time, not just silly, it's more than that. But at the same time, God does stuff through local churches that we should be like dreaming and excited about. Like, it's really. This is the institution that God is working in the most unique, significant way in the entire world right now in this period of history. We are we're his people. We play a pivotal role in God's eternal plan, and so we don't want to just maintain. We want to go maximum effort, but that maximum effort is we don't have to come up with crazy new, you know, a Starbucks in our church kind of things. We need to be faithful to make disciples, to preach the word, to think about how we can evangelize, show the love of Christ to the community we're in, and just have hope that we do that and we give our lives to that, and we're going to look back and see, wow. And that we're all part of that. I guess that's the thing, that's what I liked about going to Capitol Hill. Just the reminder that the church is not just this elite team of, you know, Navy SEALs that everybody else pays to do the Navy SEAL work. But actually, the way God's designed it is we're here to equip the church to thrive and to use their gifts. So the church is not really here for me, you know. I'm here for them, for the members of the church. And as we catch on to that vision as a church, it just gets exciting, the different things the Lord can do, and he is doing in our church even right now.
That's good. That's very good. How often do those Weekenders come up? You know?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. They have a couple of them a year, and hopefully another part of our church is going to go.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
To do that. I love their a couple of things they said. One thing they were saying is that you want to spread the gospel, raise elders. So you want to have an impact for the gospel worldwide, train and raise elders, and basically future godly leaders. So I love that as a dream vision for our church. Is if we really want to make an impact, what one of the big things we want to focus on is being a leadership development factory. And that, again, requires us being unselfish and thinking, okay, no, these young men and families are not here just for the promotion of my ministry or our ministry or whatever. but we're here to help them excel to the maximum for the cause of Christ. And that's going to require sacrifices for us as a church, sending guys out like we did with our friends there in North Africa and mm-hmm. others. One big thing I've been thinking about lately is that death is the end of living, right? And stopping growing is the end of being faithful. So there's sort of an element built into being a faithful Christian that you're always looking forward. You're always thinking, how do I do more? It's not like, it doesn't have to be this big guilt thing or like, oh, yeah, let me go in the room and hate myself for a long time. But it's, or I'm so terrible that I didn't do all this in the past. It's like, no, this is just what Christians do. Part of being virtuous, part of being righteous is always thinking, how can I be more virtuous? How can I be more righteous? And so part of being a faithful church, dreaming is not scary, because, and it's not like, hey, a statement on the past. It's like, no, this is just what healthy churches do. This is what healthy Christians do. We're always kind of, we serve a big God. He's got a great gospel. We're always kind of just in this looking forward to the future, thinking, How do I go more all out? How do we serve Christ more effectively as a church? And that is part of health. And we may not be able to do all of our dreams or things we're thinking, but just that process of wanting that even is part of being healthy.
That's cool. That's really cool. And then part of, in regards to learning and growing, is the ACBC conference that was, where was that at?
It was in Memphis.
Tennessee.
Yeah. So the ACBC, so that stands for the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. And really, it is biblical counseling training. I think that people can get kind of like thrown off by the title of the group a little bit, to only think it's like for certified counselors. Like now they do want to be involved training, and so they give a certificate after training. But really, it is just about helping people change. And so, what can be more exciting than going to a conference that is about helping people change? Because that's what we need to do. We need to be helping people change, and we need help changing too.
Right.
And so that was a really sweet conference. It was 2,000 men and women, and kind of all coming together for the same things. It's neat, because we're with a shepherd's conference or a pastor's conference. To some extent, I don't know if this is fair or not, but you kind of know a little bit what's going to be said. You kind of have a good job description, and you're going to keep doing it. You're going to keep preaching. You're going to keep being concerned about God's kingdom spreading. You're going to keep doing the main things. It's not always that you get a lot of skilled there, like this is how you do it. And at this biblical counseling conference, there was a lot of like how you do it, and so it's a neat opportunity. The next one is going to be in October of 23, and it's in Santa Clara. From like a Monday to a Wednesday, and so it might be a neat opportunity for our church body to consider going.
Yeah.
I think that really you could take any Christian who had the time to and money to be able to go and would thoroughly enjoy that time. There's five big breakout sessions, and this past year it was being made in God's image. The next one is going to be on the sufficiency of Scripture. But it was great topics about all kinds of things about being made in God's image, from disability to discussing abortion to end of life issues. Just great real life, real world issues. But then there's also breakout sessions, and there was training on how to help people who struggle with self-hate, or who have gone through a miscarriage. Real practical. And then you're kind of there, and you talk afterwards with people about those sessions who are just trying to help other people. And so it was a great conference.
Do you feel like that conference specifically, because some people could be like, I don't know if I want to invest the time and money to go to something that, because it's more so for professionals or whatever, maybe like you're wanting to get your license or get training.
Right,
like, a layperson, I don't think it's worth the time. Do you think that's contrary? It's worth the time to spend if you are interested in the topic enough to learn.
Yeah, well, and
or is it going to be way too over the head
to kind
type of thing?
Judge other people's vacation time and their finances, but as far as just the training, the training itself is, I enjoyed it so much that I would happily bring any of our church body there, and we would have great conversations. It was neat talking to people from other churches. Yes, there are some certified counselors, but then there's just people coming from churches who want to be involved. And when we think about biblical counseling, we can think about sitting across a table in an office, but it's just really using God's word to help someone, particularly when they're a little stuck.
Yeah.
And who doesn't get stuck?
Right.
And so it's just, you know, if we've been growing as a church in biblical friendships with our life groups and transformation groups, maybe transformation groups are a little bit deeper than some of the life groups, biblical counseling is just maybe a little bit more skill. And so the more skill we have, the more hope we can bring, the more we can reach out to not just inside the church, but also those outside the church who are struggling in a marriage or they know someone. So really, it is just about being equipped to give hope. And that's what was really pretty cool is how many people. I sat in a session where they dealt with, and some of them are some pretty serious sin and some pretty dark stuff, and yet the way you come away with is hope that God changes people. So I had just loved it. So that's it cool. Would be fun if there's 20 of us going.
One of the things I love about the counseling movement is that it's not just pastors and professors, but so many people in that come to that conference actually are lay people who have devoted a lot of time to becoming more skilled at helping other people with their problems, and they've received a lot of help in doing that. And so that's kind of a dream even for our church, is that this church is a counseling center. The church is a counseling center, and so that it becomes normal for people to look for real help for their problems, not to be ashamed and struggling with them on their own, but coming certainly to leaders, but also receiving help from other skilled members in the church who have really thought through. You, as a member of a church, you have opportunities that pastors don't always have, because sometimes when people talk to pastors, you've got to work a long time in a church to develop a culture of people being real and sharing what's really going on, and sometimes even the pastor, you know, they're thinking this pastor lives such a different life than I do, and then somebody alongside that they open up with and sometimes more quickly share real stuff with. Now in that moment, if that friend is prepared, he can be a real help to that person, or he can just offer kind of the same sort of counsel the world does, or he can actually just be like, you know what, this is crazy, I can't help you. And then that person shuts down even more and thinks there's no help and hope in the scripture.
Boy, that's beautiful. I mean, really, to have people, to have our body be more confident the scripture has these answers, and to be increasingly skilled in helping people find them. And then they're going to be able to minister to their coworkers who are struggling in their marriage or whatever the parenting issue is, or maybe when someone does open up and discusses something more shameful.
Right.
And they're like, well, I've been thinking about what leads or what we have in common. It's really a beautiful picture.
What I don't think we always realize is that we are literally always counseling and being counseled. Always. It's just that we don't always call it counseling. But like even this morning, I watched a short trailer for the new Indiana Jones movie. And the big line in that movie,
spoilers,
Harrison Ford says is...
Well, he's back in the movie?
I don't believe, he's still going. He's like, I don't believe in anything really... It's not. I've learned over the years that believing it, what you believe in, isn't that important as much as how hard you believe it. And so that right there is counsel.
Yeah.
That's a way of looking at the world that is based on certain beliefs, actually. And there's a whole movie that is designed to lead us to think that. So we're always being counseled, always. And so it's just vital, if we're going to be spiritually healthy, that we have friends that give us actually competing counsel, biblical counsel, take us back to God's word on issues, and that also we're able to do that for others and for our children. Because so much of, we've got these things that we say we believe, and then we're heretics so often in the way we live, and we're actually living according to a different faith system, a different set of, a different revelation, a different counsel, set of beliefs. And so what we're trying to do for our kids is counsel them constantly, like from God's word, not just, they need it, they desperately need it, because they're getting a lot of pressure and counsel. And this is the problem, going all the way back to the beginning, man was made to need counsel in the Garden of Eden. He couldn't just figure everything out on his own. He needed outside counsel to even live in the perfect Garden of Eden. And then Satan comes in with a second set of counsel, a competing counsel. And man thought, you know what? I want to listen to Satan's counsel instead. Mm. And a lot of what Satan's counsel is based on is, you can be autonomous, you don't need counsel. He's such a liar that he gets us thinking, oh, I'm the kind of person that doesn't need counsel, when we're actually constantly being counseled and receiving counsel, because it's just part of being human. So if you're not receiving counseling from biblical friends, you're receiving counsel from unbiblical friends and other sources. So the church is a counseling center, and we need to develop. That's part of why it's such a priority that we develop individuals who know the counsel that they're giving, because they're giving it. Yeah. They're giving counsel. You're constantly, somebody talks about their kid to you, and they're like, oh, my kid is acting up at school. And you're like, well, it's probably a sensory problem. And that's counsel. Mm-hmm. What did you just do? That you might be right, you might be wrong, but you have to know why you gave that counsel. Where did that counsel come from? That probably wasn't your research. You probably received that counsel from somebody else, and now you're passing that counsel on. So you have to be thinking, because you're constantly giving that counsel. I remember one time we went down to Mexico, and it was my first time in Tijuana, and we were trying to find this specific restaurant, like the Green Frog restaurant or something. I forget what it was, some Mexican restaurant. We didn't know where it was, so we started asking people, you know, do you know where the Green Frog restaurant is? And everybody was so confident. They were like, yeah, you go right, you go left, and then you're there. So we went right, we went left. There's no Green Frog restaurant. We get there, we're like, as somebody else, we're like, hey, do you know where the Green Frog restaurant is? They're like, oh, yeah, totally. I love eating there. You go walk down three blocks, you jump twice, you know, you turn around, and then you'll see it across the street. And we do that, and then it's not there. And then, you know, and that everybody, they were being kind. You know, they thought they sort of wanted to show, like, hey, I know something. But super unhelpful, because we acted on their counsel and we got nowhere until we paid a taxi driver to just take us where we needed to go. But that's life, you know. We're constantly, even without realizing it, people are giving input, we're asking for help, we're a little bit lost. And so often we're confidently giving directions and not even always thinking about, wait, where did we get these directions that we're giving from?
Yeah.
Can I speak this authoritatively about this? That's an important thing to know. Like, should I at least let them know that I don't know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have no idea where the Green Frog restaurant is, or is this something I can speak authoritatively on because God does? But that's part of why these kind of training, that's part of why when you come to church, part of what you're coming for is not just yourself. You're saying, Lord, please give me what I need to know to counsel others, because I'm going out there in this world, I'm bouncing up against all kinds of people. I'm giving counsel. And if you're able to give good counsel, man, the Bible's so wise. It's so much deeper. It's so much more profound than the sort of shallow cliches you're getting from Oprah Winfrey or stuff. So you go out there in the world, people have real problems. They may not be believers. They have real problems. You have wisdom. You're going to have opportunities to speak into people's lives, and you're going to have to get to the gospel, but you're going to have opportunities to speak into their lives at like profound levels. And that's part part of what we want to get good at. And my daughters, you know, so many of them are working now, and you know, they're going to work just normal, everyday jobs, you know, teenager jobs, while you're going to school. And they're talking to people who are struggling with gambling addictions. Mm. They're talking to
coworkers.
Yeah, people who want to murder people. Mm. You know, they're talking about hating people with that kind of intensity. Just nice little people that you see at fast food restaurants or coffee shops. They're people. They're humans dealing with huge problems. And so, who cares what jobs they have? Really, they're there. My daughters. To give wisdom and look for opportunities to point people to Jesus Christ. And if you have a little bit of wisdom, you're going to be a unique person in this world. And the Bible's wisdom is so much deeper that people, they might reject it, but they're gonna notice something's different and pay attention.
So, Will.
Yes.
I don't know if you had a follow-up question, but you went to the Puritan Conference. Mm. So were there any takeaways from what you particularly enjoyed? Or
Yeah. I was thinking, yes, I did. One thing that came from it, because I went by myself, right? I was like, oh, I'll just go. I'll probably see like old college friends there who still go to church there and stuff like that. And I just tend to go to conferences, like a lot of like work conferences by myself anyway, so it's just like sort of normal for me. But what was actually a big benefit, what you guys are talking about, is I was able to see Josh Feaster there. Mm. And we were able to go to a lot of sessions together or just like sit next to each other. And then what was the most impactful, like the message was great, but was talking about it, like the debrief time afterwards. It's like, hey, did you get that? It's like, oh, that really impacted me. Mm. And we were able to like go back and forth on it. And it sunk in deeper from that time. And I think that's huge, like going to any, whether it be going with your spouse or going with somebody and just being able to like chat about it during that moment or right after that moment or shortly after it, I mean, because that's when you're thinking about it deeply and you have thoughts, you have questions, you can go deeper. It's like, oh, we can reference this verse, or it's like, I don't really get that. Can you help me with that? So that was, I think that was a grace of God that was helpful. Point in having Josh there and just going to the different sessions with them. For me, I didn't really have high hopes. I was just like, okay, I'll see Piper. I'll see like I liked seeing Kevin DeYoung and stuff like that. But at the same time, like I there was a lot of work things I had to do, so I drove and missed some of it. But I was listening to one of the sessions. His name, I mix up his name. It's Jeff Thomas. Jeff Thomas. And I remember just driving there. I was like, he was talking about sin, and he's an older gentleman. He's like 150 or something like that. But the weight of what he talks about, it just like it really like bringing me to tears in that regard. And
Google Jeff Thomas, pastor in Wales, Aberystwyth. Listen to his messages. Watch some of his YouTube videos. Really godly man.
Yeah. Encouraging. And I was just like, I don't know who this guy is, but it's just like it was like striking me to the heart. And yeah, I think ultimately it was just a great time of refreshment. Just like, am I really prioritizing God and his kingdom? Yeah. Or am I focused on my kingdom or my comforts or whatever it is? And just, yeah, just being reminded of higher priorities. So that's why I was like, I would love for not just me, the whole family to be able to go to another event, whether it be here in California or somewhere else. I think it's going to be really refreshing for the soul, especially just how busy and how just many things that we pack our lives with on a day-to-day or month or quarter basis. Yeah. And so
it's amazing how some things when it comes to spiritual health aren't that complicated. It's a matter of doing it. You know, like what a blessing it is to take time to go and have an extended session with your family, hearing God's word.
Yeah.
Sit with other believers and just share what the Lord's doing in our life. We're like, why am I not more spiritually, excited? It's like, well, are some of these basic elements, are we making sacrifices to enjoy some of these basic means that God's given us? That would be a good place to start. Because it's amazing how motivating just hearing the gospel is to a person who has the Spirit of God in them. Or talking about the gospel with a friend.
It is a good reminder of maybe something that could be beneficial on Sunday morning is that as we you know, have the benefit of hearing God's word preached on Sunday morning, is to talk to someone afterwards about what impacted them. I mean, we expected to do that at a conference, but if we're not in the practice of it, we can forget to do that on Sunday morning.
Yeah, most definitely. Because it's so like, oh, maybe pick up your kids or going to lunch or something like that. It's like, no, spending time, maybe purposefully sitting around people you know you could.
So what was encouraging to to a you?
Right.
Jesus had compassion on on the woman. That was meaningful to me.
And, or that we're going to die.
Like, there's that too.
It's not about like whether it be our joys, our finances, our academics, or sports or something along those lines, World Cup and all that. But it's like the biggest problem is debt. What's going to solve it? Is it going to be more World Cup, more money, more health? And so
speaking of a World Cup, it's a great plug that this Saturday morning, well, I don't know when this is going to go live, but this Saturday morning we have men's breakfast at 7:30. Some of you realize that it is at the same time.
That live stream at that time? Yep.
Men's breakfast at 7:30.
That's right. That's good. But I was even thinking about, like, Josh, when we were talking about counsel, I would argue there's more counsel now, or more access to counsel specifically to what you like now than ever.
Right.
Because of our phones. Right? You can, I like this. And then whether
and it'll cater that feed for you.
Exactly. Yeah. YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. They'll cater it to you. Because, like, oh, you like that, huh? You like that athlete, or you like that motivational.
Let me give you more of that worldview.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so dangerous. Like, you just keep going. It's like, oh, yeah, that sounds – there's truths there. But, yeah.
Yeah, you can see how people get – we get in such – messes in our lives because we got this idea that's going around in our heads that's not necessarily based on what God says. We don't get it out. We just look for counsel that's suited to what's already going on in our heads. And it goes on long enough that it becomes cement. And then when we finally do get it out, our hearts are so hard that it's very difficult for anyone to move us from that decision. You see this a lot of times when people get divorced, is it didn't just happen. This was like a long time of somebody sometimes being quiet or seeking counsel that matched up with what they already thought. Whereas if we could have a church where a long time before a person gets divorced, they say to their friend, I don't like spending time with my husband. I would rather just watch YouTube videos. What do you think about that? And then their friend is like, that's pretty, let's think about who are you living for? Or I'm struggling with this area in my family. I get so mad at my kids. And the other friend doesn't just say, I get so mad at my kids too. And then that's where they end. They're actually like, they're like, okay, let's do a little book together, or let's think about how to overcome anger. And then all of a sudden, you've caught the problem way before it gets cemented, and you're able to. I think a lot of marriages are saved that way. Probably more are saved that way than we realize. And then some marriages are destroyed because they didn't take advantage of these very simple means of, like, just open your mouth and share something real with the person that's next to you who's godly. Let them know that this is a real struggle, and try not to always prettify it so much that they have no idea what you're talking about. Like, you're like, I kind of struggle. Sometimes I get annoyed at my husband. And that person, they interpret that then like, people get annoyed all the time. But what you actually mean is, I hate my husband and I want to, never be with him.
Right.
And then you're like, well, I did ask for counsel. And I asked a wise person. But that wise person didn't even hear what you said because you prettified it so much. So, and it's just we're people who are justified by what Christ has done. You can't really shock me with your sin. You shouldn't be.
But now he's not challenging you to try.
But you can't really shock other believers. I am kind of challenging you to be open enough to share what is real, that you might think is shocking. Yeah, like, because that other believer, if he knows what the Bible teaches about sin, if he knows his own heart, he knows there's shocking stuff in there. That's Jesus came for sinners, not for the righteous. And so bring it out, ask for help, and then actually want it. Like, this is where James says, you know, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask for wisdom, but not doubting. So don't ask for wisdom wanting,
sorry, don't I, yeah.
I don't want actually want to do what the Bible says. Or at least, you know, you can be real. I don't want to do what the Bible says, but I want to do what the Bible says more than I don't want to do what the Bible says. Mm. You know, because we can want something and not want it at the same time. It's just as believers, we go with the deepest want, the real want, which is I really do want to honor Christ. And I want this person to help me.
Yeah. It is God's grace that we see when our lives are not, when we're, whether it's suffering consequences, but when there is relationship problems, where there's difficulty saying no, when sin becomes a pattern, as we start seeing how tough it is living that way, and really, in whether it is in marriage conflict or dealing with the consequences of sin, life is tough, and that is God's love, because he disciplines those he loves, and he does that really so that you can get truth to kind of like break down what are the cemented lies. Like, mm. that's gonna be a whole lot of that, right? Mm. You've started thinking about life. Now, this is not true of every problem, but like, you started thinking about life in the wrong way, and it really takes friends who love you to kind of like jackhammer through some of those really cemented down lies about how you view life, how you view the world, how you view what you deserve, all those kinds of things, and say, no, here's truth. Really, I've been listening, and I don't think you actually trust God, or whatever it is. And so I guess that's an encouraging plea to be vulnerable, but it's also sympathetic in that it's really hard to unearth lies you've been believing for 20 or 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. And it's work. Mm-hmm. But God's blessed with the saints that they have also believed some of those, or they're stronger in truths that they are ready to speak them to you. But we really need one another to get rid of those long-held lies or distrust of God. I mean, I think they're all distrust of God, which is what Eve has been doing, like from the beginning, and or not Eve, but Satan,
yeah.
been doing from the beginning.
This is where we want to develop the church culture, where we say to one another, "What do you think?" Or, "Can you give me any input in how I'm thinking? Like, is there anything that I'm not seeing?" We kind of want to develop, almost get that embedded in our normal ways of talking to one another. Because it is so hard to see ourselves. Those lies do go so deep. And because people are polite. And, you know, sometimes we develop cultures where it's rude to speak truth. And it's not rude to speak truth. But we develop a culture where it feels like it's rude to speak truth. And so everybody's kind of afraid to say, "Hey, man, you know you're about to fall off a cliff, right? Like, I don't want to say anything, but you're like, I don't know, it's just an option, but you're walking off that cliff." And then that person's like, "That's so rude." But, you know, we want to develop a culture where we're gracious, for sure, gracious. But we invite people in. If people invite us in, we recognize this is a privilege to be in here. Not everybody gets to go in each other's hearts. Mm-hmm. So it's a privilege. I'm going to be careful with what I hear here. But I also, part of love is saying it, but also letting people know you really want them to say it to you. And we can move forward. And also, in terms of becoming better counselors, fighting this lie that you know, there's this guy out there that just knows everything. I'm not him. And because I don't know everything, I can't say anything that's helpful to anybody else. So somebody comes and says they struggle with anger with their kids. They're like, "Well, sometimes I get angry too, so I can't say anything ever." It's like, no, that's not actually how it works. You know, Dr. Phil, guys like that, they're not usually the guys that we want to go to for counsel. Like, they're arrogant. They got all these issues in their own.
Yeah.
The kind of person who's going to be really helpful is the guy who's like, "You know what? I'm weak. I need Jesus. I mean, even if that's the counsel you give, like you're sharing, somebody was saying, who am I to counsel? I'm weak. I need Jesus. I'm going to God's word. And I'm like, you're the person to counsel. Mm. Even just saying that, like, I'm weak. This is what I do with my weakness. You just did counseling there. You just did something that's going to be long-term helpful for that person that you're talking to. And then you want to keep growing in it. You know, that's part of how you become a better counselor is counseling and getting in there and recognizing, I haven't thought through this area of the Christian life very well. I need to think more. Let me do that. But if you just sit and think, you know what, I'm not going to ever get involved until I'm an absolute expert, then you're not really thinking clearly about human problems. They're always complicated, even for people who are experts. And if the experts tell you they're not complicated, then they're giving you simplistic solutions that aren't really real either. So
that's interesting, because like you're talking about, people might say like my age, I'm not old enough to be able to give this wisdom. I struggle with this, or I don't have enough. I haven't learned enough, so I can't say anything. Or like, what position should I say, because I haven't gone through it myself? But in reality, I feel like what comes to mind was like James talking about like a righteous person, his prayers can do much. Mm-hmm. Can do much. And like, if a person's just like, I don't know, I'm dependent upon God, I've been reading my Bible, that's a great place to start, right? Versus Oprah, Dr. Phil, Tony Robbins, whoever it is out there who's giving out their spiel of this is the way to solve the problem.
Right. And this makes life it makes it a lot more exciting. So like when I'm with a group of believers, they could be a lot younger than me. They could not know much, but the Spirit of God lives in that person. And they've been through stuff.
Hmm.
And so I can learn from them. Like, so when I meet with somebody, whoever, even this conversation, whoever I'm meeting with, I'm thinking, how can I learn from them? What has the Lord taught them? What has the Lord brought them through? What kind of insight? That's part of what I love about counseling. Like, as I'm sitting there counseling, I'm learning from the person I'm counseling, even about myself, about how humans work. So it goes sort of both ways. Like, we don't have to wait until we're so old to be able to give input. But even if you are so old, don't think, oh, now I've come to this point where, boy, so boring, I have to go around just telling everybody stuff all the time.
You guys should be standing in line for my counsel right now. Yeah.
You will be a much more helpful person if you're with an 18-year-old and you're like, this guy's a Christian. Maybe the Lord's teaching him something that will feed my soul today.
I think it's also addressing that problem, too, in the sense of like, I feel like it's very self-focused. It's like, I can't do this because of X, Y, and Z.
That's right.
But like, once you are able to address that and believe like, I can learn, I can grow, and I can be used as an instrument in my brother and sister's lives, no matter how old or young or whatever it is, I can be an instrument. Like, God, may you use me and look for those opportunities to be used in that way. But you have to address that first.
Right.
If not, then, I feel like it's not going to go anywhere in that sense.
Right. You are taking a little bit of a risk in any time you seek to give counsel or help someone. People are, when you're helping a sinner, they're a sinner. You're a sinner.
Mm.
So they're going to be messed there. You are giving direction sometimes, and you don't know everything. You're limited.
Mm.
There might be difficulties that come into their lives. As a result, we just listened to a testimony of a young couple that moved to Libya after listening to one of John Piper's sermons, and the husband died. Mm. You know, he was martyred.
Mm.
You think, okay, this is real. This is real. But is it right for me to do this? Do people need this? Is God able to take broken sticks and use them to accomplish something? Am I willing to be humble? You cannot give counsel. You can give counsel because you're proud. You can also not give counsel because you're proud. And some of us struggle both ways. Some of us are just always telling everybody everything, and that's because of pride. But some of us, we're like, you know what? I'm going to sit in my corner. I'm never going to say anything, because this way I don't stand out. Nobody's going to look at me and say things about me. But that's pride. That's pride that's keeping you from doing that. It's a different form of pride.
Mm.
And it's like you said, you need to see, we need to see that for what it is. It's self-focused, self-protection. It's not loving. And God's given you a gift. He's given you the Spirit. He's given you the Word. Mm. And that other person, it's loving God and loving them to step out in faith and be willing to risk maybe a little bit of people not approving of you or saying something about you.
Right, right. I know it's about time to wrap it up, but one thing I did take away from this conversation that was helpful was I was talking to a brother recently, and he was noting the books he read, how long he was reading them, and like certain quotes and stuff like that. I was like, that's amazing in regards to tracking, right? Can we do that in a way of like, what videos, what YouTube things, what podcasts, what audios are we listening to? And just sort of sharing that, because those, like, somebody be like, oh, what are you guys watching on Netflix, you know? And this is the one I've been binging or watching, this, that, and the other. And obviously in that video, there's a sense of truth or thing that they're trying to counsel you with. Similarly with these videos, audios, or even time on Instagram or TikTok, but if we're able to share with somebody during the week, it's like, hey, I was watching these videos. Like, oh, interesting. Why are you watching these? Like, having that type of conversation starter. I think that'd be great. But there's a lot of legwork in prepping that.
Mm.
I guess you can just go to your YouTube history and just like, oh, this is the history of videos I watched. Yeah. And stuff like that. But I was like, I think that'd be really, whether it be a transformation group or just a group in general. It's just like, hey. Nothing to talk about? Let's talk about what you're listening to.
I bet you would get some amazing conversations, or even to help each other think, okay, you're watching that. What worldview are they trying to...
Yes.
I think that this is something I've been thinking a lot about lately. I don't know that we recognize that stories are shaping us in profound ways, the stories that we watch. So when we watch Marvel movies, they're shaping us from the side, like even in terms of how we think about men and women, how we think about beauty, how we think about being a hero. Yeah. It's all, and all that is based on a certain belief, but so it's not like we have to get so analytical for everything, but if we're not at least a little bit analytical, what happens is we end up being shaped at this profound level without even realizing. And that's where some of those conversations could be helpful, like, because we can't always see it, but it's nice to have a friend who's like, hey, what do you think about the counsel that you're getting there? Or even to try to articulate yourself, oh, this is how they're trying to shape me.
If we are more comfortable with not being perfect, and as we share things, just to say out there, I enjoyed this. You know, I was thinking about that. There's like great Twitter feeds, and you're like, wow, amazing, wow. How does this guy like come up with this stuff, right? But I'm like, what if we just use that or the Facebook group or whatever, just to throw out, hey guys, I enjoyed this. I read this quote. It's just a thing. You know what I mean? And instead of we try to so carefully manicure everything, I think a lot of us just get muted into saying nothing because it's not profound enough, or it wasn't ours and it wasn't original. And instead of just being okay, I mean, the reality is I don't know. I mean, we're just hacks, right? We're just taking what other people have said. Some of them have said it about God's word after they heard someone else say it after they heard some. Or we just got it from God's word. We don't have
nothing
to be this original, brilliant source to. But like, so maybe a husband and wife are texting those things to one another. Mm. But what about just throwing it out on the, hey, I read this in an Advent journal.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, 20 people saw it or 40 people saw it, and then they're encouraged, and then someone else thinks, well, I can do that too.
Yeah,
and so we're sharing the kinds of things that we are enjoying.
That we should be like looking to. It's like, that was encouragement to you. I should look into that too.
Well, and it demystifies it, because it's so easy we can be just so geared towards works righteousness. Yeah. If we have the hour-long quiet time or the two-hour-long quiet time, or if I can't just listen to a snippet from a Puritan sermon from the conference, I got to listen to all 12 sessions. And it's really weird the number of things that can keep us just from being healthy.
Yeah.
Particularly me, but...
No, that's a good insight. It's a similar problem to people who struggle to pray out loud.
Mm.
because they're like, I know, yes. I got to pray perfectly, as if they have this image of every time somebody prays out loud, it's like Puritan prayers or something, and they don't realize, oh, if you really listen carefully to most people's prayers, they're real.
Yes.
You know, and they're helping others enjoy God with these real prayers, and the same could be with some of the why people struggle to say what they're learning or quotes that they're enjoying, because they're thinking, oh, the only people who can share stuff like that are people who are just, everything they say is so deep.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, real people sharing real things the Lord's doing in their life, even if they seem simple, ends up having a profound effect.
And I love your discipline of a writing, because I think that sometimes we would have more to say if we would just write a little bit about what we read the morning, or to write our prayers. And if we let, you know, perfectionism of like, oh, I'm never going to put pen to paper because it's not going to be good enough for whatever, and then we just don't have, I think that we can just become kind of just the pipe. And, and it's not bad. It's not bad just for a day to go in and go out. But it would be neat to say, oh, I caught a little bit of that.
Yeah. Well, thanks, brothers. I'm glad we're able to get this podcast back and this Q&A. I don't know how we're working on the frequency or the regularity of it.
We're about once every 4 months now. It'll be more than that.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, if there are questions that you have, please let us know. If not, then we'll talk through the passage, talk through the equipping hour, talk through certain current things that are happening, and hopefully that could be of help and source. That's what we want. That's or the goal behind it.
For sure. We love your questions. It helps us think
yes
more carefully and more deeply. And if you have the question, probably five other people have that same question too. So
that's good.